If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
John Batchelor with Joe Pappalardo, the author of the new book, Red Sky Morning, the epic true story of Texas Ranger Company F. Many anecdotes. We've told none of them, but we have concentrated on the gunfire. And the gunfire is what they remember today. Good heavens. These are lawmen. However, whatever happens to them once they leave the frontier, I mentioned Captain Scott marries in December of 87. I believe Captain Brooks will marry in not too long after that. Brooks loves a woman on a horse who can shoot, and he finds one, Virginia. However, whatever happens to them after they leave the Rangers, let's start with Captain Scott. You've mentioned, Joe, that he starts building a railroad. To where? What does he make of building a railroad? It seems like the same restless life he lived before.
Yeah, there's this conundrum amongst Rangers. When you become an officer, you can marry at that point. So sergeants and captains can marry. But by the time you're a sergeant and captain, you've wandered the state enough that how do you settle down? You've got a sort of your pick of the best sort of women. I know it sounds kind of crude, but that really comes out when you're doing the research. I mean, Scott marries a 19-year-old and they're all well-heeled, right? So
yeah, the families are a great catch. The families are very happy to have a ranger as a son.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're, you know, very financially secure, and it's usually their youngest, most beautiful daughters, if you believe all the newspaper coverage. But the census data doesn't lie. They usually marry extremely young women and from good families. So, and it matches all the anecdotal evidence of rangers coming into town. And instead of your usual sort of crop of farmers and ranchers nearby, you've got these handsome, dashing men that come in. And that happens even in insular Sabine County after the shootout. So there is this aura around the Rangers at the time. And that influences the romantic politics as well. But also the way that they position themselves afterwards. You marry into a good family, you've got some sort of financial security, at least opportunity. But does that match your rootless lifestyle, all that time spent in the saddle? Can you truly settle down and be happy? And for Scott, his solution was building railroads. You are, you're using a lot of those frontier skills to be, commanding men in a large effort in very austere circumstances. Everything he loves and is used to. And it gets him in trouble. He's building a railroad in Mexico when bandits ambush him and his party. And he's wound up shot, stabbed, and scarred. And once again, he's a tough SOB, and he survives that encounter as well. But that's the kind of environment he puts himself in after he leaves the Rangers. And I think it's pretty telling.
His personality, as I understand it, Flinty doesn't do it. He's rock made. And he doesn't talk much. And Brooks doesn't talk much either. Is that a Ranger style? Not to explain yourself, just to show up?
It's part of the template. And remember that the modern Rangers are very much patterned after the four great Rangers. And that's Brooks and Rogers, the two in Company F are half of them. And they are greatly influenced by their Captain Scott. So this deliberate, quiet, every word should count. Don't swear in front of anybody else. If you do put your guy down, but make sure that, be deliberate, but cautious, but bold, always be riding hard. That the hat and the stoicism, I had dinner at a banquet with a Texas Ranger, active Texas Ranger and his wife were at my table. And we wound up talking same guy. He didn't drink in front of any of us. He didn't swear. He told very few stories. The ones he did tell were great, but they were from when he was a counter-narcotics officer, not a ranger. They are guarded. He had the big hat. That is Scott. That's the reflection of Scott through Brooks, through Rogers, onto the present day. So absolutely, yes. You know, the Company F headquarters is right behind the Hall of Fame Museum. And they know who Brooks is. They know who Rogers is. This isn't, you know, distant history for them. This is a template for them to follow even now.
The four great Rangers remembered in Waco are J. Brooks, John Rogers, the praying Ranger, John Hughes, and Bill McDonald. So we're telling the story of 50% of them. The frontier is closing, and Scott has left the Rangers. He will die in 1913, probably of a stroke, probably of a heart attack, die young compared to where how we live today. Brooks will live a full life, however. He sees the moment when the frontier battalions end and there's a new budget from Austin and they only have four ranger companies left. So the detail about the budget and Brooks's life, does he become disheartened because he'll leave the Rangers in 04? Or as you say, 21 years of a ranger is enough. Why does he leave the Rangers, Brooks?
I think that Brooks left the Rangers mostly because he needed to settle down with his family somewhere. And he felt always that there was part of being an adult was marrying and moving on to something else, which is what Scott did. So I think that he loved being a ranger. He was always called captain, even after he became a state representative and a county judge. You know, his grave, you know, says captain. That was his identity through his entire life. And I think he missed it. I don't think he ever got disheartened by it. I think he saw an opportunity in South Texas that he couldn't turn his back on, and he had to act on it, and he couldn't be a ranger at the same time. He put his toe into it when he bought property in what is now Brooks County, and found political allies there and a cause sort of worth fighting for, which is sort of liberating this county from the political apparatus that controlled it very unfairly, in my opinion, and certainly in Brooks's opinion. So he found a cause to rally behind because he's a fighter. But after he wins that fight and he gets elected to the state legislature and carves out a new county, which they name after him, he becomes a county judge, but now he's settled down, and that's when the alcoholism really sets in and sort of this, you know, grinding existence starts to manifest, and he disappears for a long, you know, lengths of time. And his life sort of starts sliding a little bit downhill at that point. His children become very concerned and despairing. His wife dies, and he's the lonely old man outside of town who happens to be the, you know, highly respected county judge and legendary lawman. But from a day-to-day existence, it strikes me as a very lonely sort of backside of his life. While he is, you know, venerated and respected in the county name for him, personally, part of him is still riding the trail and missing it.
He dies in January 44. Detail, when he gets to the state legislature, this is in the new state house in Austin, built with convict labor, some of whom were the Connors while they were in Rusk prison. Wonderful detail. Joe's got all these footnotes. Read the footnotes, because Joe goes in other directions than the footnotes, and he introduces material you can't control in a black powder story. One of the details is when he arrives, the speaker of the legislature is named Sam Rayburn. I thought, my goodness, Sam Rayburn. He's the godfather of Lyndon Baines Johnson. And I told Joe immediately the story of Vice President Truman before Roosevelt's death, going down in the afternoon in Congress to what was called the Board of Education, which was Sam Rayburn getting out a bourbon bottle. And they'd sit around and tell stories. And I can imagine, Joe, they told stories that included the Texas Rangers. There's more to tell about the Rangers. This is just one company. Is that correct, Joe? Is that what you've discovered?
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is a particularly interesting company because of the legendary Rangers who were part of it. And not only the number of shootouts, but the different circumstances within those 2 years that the individuals and the company found themselves. But the entire organization during that time is learning how to be a law enforcement agency. For the first time, the Frontier Battalion is the first one who had to do that. So when the Rangers sort of lose their way in the Mexican during the Mexican Revolution and have to reach back into their history for a better version of themselves, the outlaw hunters. There's Brooks and Rogers, and their shadows. They're the ones that the rest of the Rangers are patterned off of then and now.
The book is Red Sky Morning, Texas Ranger Company F, the epic true story. Joe Pappalardo is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.